unaware that the man he's referring to is Kurt Rockwell, unaware of the real reason for Carol's visit to Stoneford, Frank Dana is nonetheless following the best clue he's ever had in his efforts to disprove the story Beth has given to account for her long absence abroad. Frank doesn't believe Carol lived in poverty during the time in question. He believes that in some way, perhaps by someone, she was well provided for. And now in the living room of Francie Brent's home.
You're so serious about all this, Frank. So sort of grim, it frightens me a little.
Well, I'm sorry. No reason why it should.
You make me feel like I was telling tales out of school or something.
Not at all.
Well, then why do you want to know about our shopping trip and this man?
Just take my reasons on faith, Francie. Now tell me, did Carol ask you to go to Stoneford with her? I imagine she did, didn't she?
Oh, no.
Really?
Oh, no. It was all my own idea. She didn't like it one bit when I told her I was going along.
Oh, is that so?
Why, I even called up a friend of mine in Stoneford and had her invite us for lunch after we shopped. Thought it'd be a swell surprise for Carol, but when I told her, she didn't like it a bit, and I got so mad I hung up on her.
But you went anyway.
Well, I got to thinking it over, and I went over to Carol's and sort of cooled off on the way. I guess she was sorry by then, too. Anyway, we patched it up and went over there together.
And nothing more was said about her not wanting you along at first?
No. Gee, Frank, I wish you...
Please, go on, Francie. You shopped over there, I suppose?
Yeah.
And then what about lunch?
Well, we had it with Ellie Barnes, my friend.
When did she run into this Johnson fellow?
Oh, that was after lunch. She had to get another present for Janie or something, so she left Ellie and me and drove back into the village. But she was gone so long...
Oh, no, wait a minute. This getting another present for Janie, how did that come up?
She just mentioned it after lunch.
Oh, so she went back to the village alone?
Yeah. We asked her to stay. I said we could get whatever it was she wanted on her way home, but she went anyway, and it was then, I guess, that she bumped into Mr. Johnson.
I see. You said she was gone for quite some time, Francie.
Yeah, she was gone so long, Ellie and I wondered what had happened to her. So we got into Ellie's car and went looking for her.
Where'd you find her?
Oh, in a little tea room right near the store where we'd done our shopping. She was at a table with him right in front of the window, and I spotted her and went in.
And then?
Well, you know, Frank, I get the funniest feeling while I'm telling you about this. Maybe I'm not very smart, but the way you keep leading me on, I get the funniest feeling about something I never even thought of before. It's terrible.
In what way, Francie?
I get the feeling you think Carol went to Stoneford just to meet this man. You don't really think she did, do you? It never struck me till I got to talking now. Her not wanting me to go at first, and then making excuses to leave Ellie and me. Is that what you're driving at?
Francie, it's a mistake to jump to conclusions until all the facts are known. Even then, we can often be wrong. I haven't any conclusions yet. Now, you still haven't told me a single thing about this man. Did Carol introduce you?
Yeah, I went in the tea room. When I saw them there, I made some remark about asking Carol who the handsome man was.
And was he handsome?
Well, from a distance he was. I mean, he was well-dressed, sort of iron gray hair. Not really gray. There was something about him, though. His eyes, maybe. I just didn't like him very well. I don't think I'd trust him.
Why not? Because of anything he said?
No. He was just as pleasant as could be. It was his manner. Something behind his manner. He seemed to be looking right through me.
Oh? When you mentioned, you said you liked him.
Oh, I just said that because Carol was there. There wasn't any use knocking a friend of hers, and there wasn't anything I could put my finger on. Just sort of a sixth sense you get about people, that's all.
I see. All right, so you asked who the handsome man with Carol was.
And she introduced me to him. He explained that he was on the plane with her last spring and that they talked about this and that, and he was surprised to run into her there in Stoneford. He hadn't realized it was so close to Merrimack.
He did the explaining.
Yeah, I think so. Most of it, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I asked him if he were there on business, and he said he was. First time he'd ever been there, and then I asked him what his business was. And he said he was an importer.
Uh-huh.
Guess that's just about all there is to it. I wouldn't have thought any more about it, except it did seem funny that an importer would be coming to a little town way off in the hills like Stoneford.
Did you and Carol discuss it on the way home?
No, not until we got back here.
How'd it come up then?
Oh, I just asked her if she'd gotten to know him very well on the plane. And she said, well, they chatted a bit, and she wondered why I'd ask her, and I said I was just curious, which I was.
Sure.
But I didn't think he was very nice, if you know what I mean, and I just couldn't see Carol being, well, taken in by his smoothness and all. Maybe I'm wrong, but I wouldn't trust that guy any farther than I could throw him.
Was he a heavy man?
You mean how far could I throw him?
Well, how tall was he? How much would you say he weighed?
Oh, I guess he was about 6 feet or so, sort of medium build.
175, say?
Yeah, I guess so.
Mm-hmm. How was he dressed?
Well, he had on a gray pinstripe suit and blue necktie. That's all I remember, blue necktie.
Uh-huh. All right, thanks, Francie. Thanks very much.
Now, will you tell me what this is all about?
Well, it's probably a lot of to-do about nothing, and I want you to forget it.
But
that's all, Francie. Thanks an awful lot, but take a tip from me, will you? And don't ask questions. Forget what you've told me and forget I was even here.
Frank Dana leaves the house. Though he's told Francie to forget the talk, he intends to visit Stoneford to get more information on the mysterious Curtis Johnson. This morning, Beth has gone about her housework as usual in the Brent home, though she still remembers the upsetting, unnerving scene of last night when Jim rose to her defense as his wife. When she, overwhelmed by her shame, left the room in tears. And now her work is interrupted by the ringing of the phone. And she crosses the room to answer it.
Hello?
Good morning, Mrs. Brandt.
Good morning.
This is Ed Cochran down at the Herald.
I'm alone, Ed. What do you want?
I just thought I'd tell you about my talk with our friend following your interview with him.
Can't it wait until some other time?
I could come up the hill now if you want.
No, I haven't time to talk now.
It seems to me you ought to be real interested in hearing what he said.
I am.
Particularly since it ought to be mighty good news for you. Music to your ears.
Just what did he say, Ed? I really am busy, but if you could just give me a hint.
Yes, I can give you a hint. You were very successful in winning your point.
I was?
He's agreed to give you time to work this out your own way.
Oh.
You don't take too much time. That's the sum and substance, and I...
Yes?
Frank's at the door. Got to hang up now. Bye.
Goodbye.
Beth stands by the phone. She's excited by the words Cochran has spoken. And she thinks...
Rockwell believed me. He believed me. He's going to give me time. Time, he thinks, to get the Wheelock secrets. But he'll be giving me time to live with Jim and Janie. Time to find a little happiness. Time to make Jim care. To make Jim care enough so that when I tell him, he'll forgive and forget. And help put Rockwell and Cochran behind bars where they belong.
Beth, given time, believes she can chart her course and follow it until she's ready to reveal herself as an imposter. She doesn't realize at this moment that it's impossible for anyone to chart a course and follow it step by step as they journey down the road of life. Probably heard Ruth and me bragging about our pie crust. But before...
Pallor and tiredness may be due to other causes. So to be sure of your condition, see your doctor. But if you're simply nothing, see how regular use of ironized yeast brings back your old-time energy and vigor. Ask for ironized yeast.
Listen to Mr. District Attorney. It's tonight on NBC.
KFI and KFI-FM, Los Angeles, Earl C. Anthony, Incorporated, California distributor of Packard Motor Cars.
Surf, the amazing wash day discovery that guarantees the world's cleanest, whitest, brightest wash with no rinsing. Cut wash time in half. Get new Surf.
No more rinsing.